First up, great God, let me tell you the news. My head got wet in the midnight dew. I've been down on my bending knees, talking to the man from Galilee. Then my God spoke and he sounded so sweet. I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. Then he put one hand upon my head. Great God, the mighty, let me tell you what he said.
Don't tell that long-tongued liar.
Putting the asthmatic in charismatic, you're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show.
You know, I don't know what, there's something about these guys.
Oh, yeah.
When the Blind Boys of Alabama sing, I listen. If the Blind Boys of Alabama did worship in church, I'd go back.
I gotta tell you, I told you the story this before. I was at a Peter Gabriel concert, and they
want to say that
Peter
again?
Gabriel concert, and they opened up for him.
Right.
And, like, you know, the place smelled like, you know, funny, fun weed, like we were talking about earlier today.
Right.
And, you know, everybody had beers and all that kind of stuff. And when they came up, you know, everybody was like, you know, whatever. But by the end of their set, man, the place was rocking.
Yeah?
It was amazing. One of them, you know, the little short ball guy was up running up and down.
Yeah.
Well, he had someone helping him because
yeah.
he's half
yeah.
blind. Right?
Yeah.
Half but it was
blind?
Amazing.
Half
well,
blind?
Well, they are. So he can see a little bit.
Not anymore, he can't.
No?
Folks, Eric Metaxas is up next on the Drew Marshall Show. He's got a new book out. Of course, you know, when you write a hit, the big hit book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, then the publisher says, you're now part of the machine, and you better crank out some more beauties. So he's got this next one out called Seven Men and the Secret of Their Greatness. New York Times bestselling author Eric Metaxas presents seven exquisitely crafted short portraits of widely known but not well understood Christian men. Chapter 6, Drew Marshall. We've reached the one and only Eric Metaxas.
Yes, yes. I'm in a hotel in Washington, D.C. Don't tell my wife.
what?
A joke.
What?
A joke. No, I'm emceeing a Christian men's conference here in D.C. called the New Canaan Society, one of the greatest things ever. N.T. Wright spoke this morning, and yeah, you know, just unbelievable. But yes, I'm in D.C. and the book, my new book, which you're just describing, comes out like tomorrow or Monday, I guess, is the official mm-hmm. launch. But you can already get it online and stuff. But I tell you, what your description of me being—I'm now part of the machine.
Yep, yeah, that's it. You're part of the machine. I expect another book to come out in 6 months, Mr. Metaxas.
And I gotta crank these suckers out. No, well, I guess I don't think of it that way, but thank you for flattering me as part of the machine. Well, this book, my real excuse with this book, the reason I wrote it is because I feel like there's a crisis of manhood in the culture. What do you tell young men, like, who should they be like? The models in the culture tend, you know, what you're seeing on TV or in movies, tend not to be, you know, great role models. And we've sort of denigrated the whole idea of role models. Like, we tend to see the worm and the apple. You know, we no longer really hold people up, and I think that's not healthy. Especially young men need role models, and I thought, boy, there's some folks from history who are so spectacular. Now, they're not perfect because nobody's perfect, but they're worthy of
right.
Study and emulation. And I said, I just want to give seven short biographies of seven of these great men, especially, you know, for young men. But I mean, really for anybody, but especially for young men who need real heroes that they can look to.
Okay, so a couple of quick questions for you, because these are right at the top of my brain for this stuff. Number one, don't you think we tend to put guys or people into sort of the hero category after they're dead? Because while they're alive, there's too many people that know dirt about them.
Well, I know dirt about you, Marshall.
Stop it.
I'm not going to bring it up on the air.
Stop it.
Your audience, they would. That's the only reason they follow you anyway, because they know about this dirt. So what am I going to be talking about? No, I mean, I think that there's an assumption in what you're saying, which I would, I guess, disagree with. I think that just because people are flawed doesn't mean that some people aren't better than others. And I don't mean better in any cosmic way, because, you know, if you're a Christian, you believe that God is no respecter of persons, that, you know, everybody is equal in God's eyes. But in terms of who do you tell somebody to model your life after? I mean, there are people out there that are just, they're bad examples, and they're making bad decisions. They're very let's say selfish. They're very, you know, we tend to have more of those, I think, to choose from, and it's not healthy for young men. I mean, if you think about sort of the whole macho idea, the chest beating, it's about me, you know, the showboating, spike the ball in the end zone, you know, it's all about me. That's terrible. And we've got a lot of that. We don't have a lot of gentleman athletes like we used to and stuff. And I think that there are figures from history who have made sacrifices, because the ultimate question I ask, that's why I wrote this book, is what is a man? Can we even talk about that? And then what is a great man? Is there anybody that we can call great, flawed as they might have been, because every human being has flaws. But I listed seven. It's kind of a subjective list. The main reason I put these seven in here is because I said each of them did something, at least one thing, which was a noble sacrifice. Now, we really look at what they did. They didn't need to do it. Anybody else around them would have said, don't do that, you're crazy. And they said, no, I'm going to do the right thing. And we are celebrating them to this day, in some cases centuries later, because they did the right thing, and they did it for the right reason, and other people benefited from it. Jackie Robinson is number one, since the movie just came out about him, which I didn't know about when I was writing the book. But here's a guy who had every right to fight back. I mean, if you think about the most manly thing, you want to kill the guy who called you this and who did this, said this to you, and who, you know, spiked you on the base path. You'd have every right to fight back. But he, for the right reason, said, I will give up this right. I will sacrifice the right to fight back so that others who follow in my footsteps will be able, to play in an integrated sport. In the United States of America, we had the scandal of segregated baseball. And you think, what a noble thing, and how tough it was. It was really tough, and he didn't need to do that. And Jackie Robinson was not a perfect person, but boy, oh boy, there's a nobility and a heroism, and we need to teach especially young men about that. And as a father of a 13-year-old daughter, I want her to hang out with young men who get that stuff, who understand the idea of heroism and nobility. And, you know, these are things we just don't talk about very much. I think we need to begin talking about them. I think the fruit has not been so great when we don't talk about them, and we need to talk about them.
Eric Metaxas on the Drew Marshall Show. Eric, do you mind if I say something?
I wish you wouldn't, but go ahead.
Eric, you've got seven guys that you pulled out of the hat. Who didn't make the short list? I mean, I'm sure you had more than just seven you were thinking about writing about. Who was number eight that never really made it? Because, you know, the book would have been too long or something.
Well, I feel very uncomfortable with you bringing that up, but it was you, Drew.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Missed it by that much. Can we get Drew in there and the publisher said, no, seven, that's it. Drew's out. Actually, no, there's an answer to this, a serious answer. The one rule I had was that it's only going to be people who have passed on. No living people will be put in the book. And right as I was in the middle of writing the book, I'd had Abraham Lincoln in there. And again, it is a subjective list. There's so many flawed individuals and so many great people, and, you know, but I wanted to focus on a few. And Chuck Colson was on his deathbed. My friend, my hero, my mentor, Chuck Colson, was on his deathbed. And I said, it doesn't look like Chuck's going to make it. The prognosis was not good. And when he passed away, I said, there's just no doubt in my mind Chuck Colson is going to be the seventh man. So Colson bumped Lincoln. And I think that when most people don't really know the story of Chuck Colson, that he gave up the right he pretty much refused to take a plea bargain. He said, I would rather go to jail than lie. And I think, holy cow, what an amazing thing. He had just come to faith. This was like 1973. And, you know, sometimes when somebody is the real deal, it should be acknowledged, it should be celebrated. Yeah. So he ended up being somebody who went on and redeemed a dark, dirty life. He redeemed it by going into prisons and just serving people for 35 years just before he passed away a year ago. So he's number seven. But, he bumped Lincoln.
Eric, did you glaze over? Because, you know, George Washington wasn't the angel that a lot of people think he was.
And well, exactly. I think that you're of course. No, you can't. I mentioned that in the book. I try not to gloss over anything or glaze over, as you say. I don't really, I guess that's the point, is that these people weren't perfect, but there are times when what we have done, and I think this is over the last 40 years, we've focused so much on the negative that we have failed to see, in some cases, real greatness. George Washington, you know, and again, I talk about the specifics in that chapter, but the short thing is that he did some noble, heroic sacrifices that we have forgotten about. Now, those of us who are here in, you know, the United States of America need to understand that he didn't need to do what he did. I mean, he was, at the time, many people, many sane people were saying to him, you need to be a monarch. You need to be King George I of America. The Congress is not paying the military. We've all suffered and bled and whatever, and we should just have a benevolent dictatorship. You should be king. Now, he had every right to do that, and up to that point in history, there was nothing else to look at. There were no presidents. There was no democratically elected anything. He could have done that, probably should have done that, according to a lot of people, and he said, no, I refuse to do that. I will not do that. I fought for liberty. I fought for this idea. I'm just not going to do it. And, you know, he didn't even want to be president. He was just very humble in that way. And I think that there's a couple of other things I won't go into now, but that kind of sacrifice, that kind of humility, we need to applaud that, and we need to try to have young people especially understand that this is real. This was a flesh and blood human being. He was not perfect, but look at what he did here. Would you do that? How did he do that? If you're in the same position, would you do it? I mean, we need to think about that.
All right. Eric Metaxas is the author of two New York Times bestsellers, Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy, and Amazing Grace, William Wilberforce, and the Heroic Campaign to End Slavery. So just those two books in and of themselves, what he did was he just copy and pasted some stuff from those two books and put them into this book, and then this book up with some other stuff.
You saw right through me.
About
you
other.
Saw that I'm part of the publishing machine. Yeah, I've got staff. I don't even know the title of the book. What is it? Seven Men?
I've got people. He has written more than 30 children's books and is now the voice of Breakpoint, a radio program heard on 1,400 outlets across the country. He's kind of a big deal, people. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Metaxas. Eric, someone, you know, I can hear I don't know, somebody I have in mind who I can't say their name. I can hear them saying, look, the only hero you should have is Jesus.
Right. Well, that's nonsense, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's a contradiction of the Bible itself, okay? Jesus was perfect, okay? He was God in human form, and I believe that. And so nobody else is perfect. But God wants us. In fact, you could argue that Jesus becoming a human being is God's way of saying that he wants us not to denigrate human beings. In other words, that each of us walking around can be a hero or a model to those people around us. And God says, with my help, and this is kind of the key, right, you can do that. So you may not be perfect, but I do want you to be a hero to your kids. I want you, mom and dad, I want you to be heroes to your kids. I want you to be the person who does the right thing.
But,
that's very
important.
And
Eric,
when people do that and they put Jesus in this kind of category, that he's the only person, you know, that's just not, it's just not appropriate.
Okay, but can you not see people saying, look, the world doesn't need to see perfect Christians. They need to see Christians own their imperfectness and point to a perfect Savior. So we should always be pointing to Jesus. Don't look at me. I'm nobody. Look at Jesus.
Right.
I'm a scumbag. Look at Jesus. I'm a dirtbag sinner. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the only hero. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is Jesus.
Well, I mean, it depends on your perspective, because theologically, I get that. That's true. But I would also say that you can take any of these things too far and you can misapply it. In other words, if you cannot see... Well, here, let me put it this way. What is true greatness, right? In other words, when I point out the greatness in these seven men, why did I pick these seven men? Because every one of them effectively did what you're saying. They said, you know what? I'm nothing. I'm going to do the right thing. It's not about me. George Washington didn't say, you know, it's about me. I'm great. I'm going to be the king of America. He said, no, that's wrong. I'm serving a higher purpose. Jackie Robinson didn't say, you know what, that guy's got it coming, I'm going to whack him in the face and people are going to applaud. No, he said, I'm going to humble myself to do the right thing for the children as yet unborn so that they will have a better America. Or just about everybody in this book did the right thing. And what does that involve? It involves this thing called humility, right? So they're not pointing to themselves. And that's why I can point to them, because they didn't point to themselves, because they were themselves humble. And I, in the introduction to the book, by the way, the title is Seven Men, just in case anybody's wondering. I have to say that in the introduction to Seven Men, I talk about this idea of humility and how, you know, we have this false choice today, these kind of grandstanding, chest-beating, you know, it's kind of a false macho view of what is a man. And I say that's not a real man. Humility, nobility, that's I would say that's God's idea of a man. But you're right. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, it's not really about pointing to these people. But if these were people who had pointed themselves, then I wouldn't be pointing at them. So
well said. Ooh, that's a good line. Okay, two final things before we say goodbye to you, Mr. Eric Metaxas. The first thing is, in this fatherlessness thing that we're living in, this fatherless society, this right. society where fathers are faking or fathers are absent or fathers are cruel, right. I would imagine this is desperately needed. These seven chapters, to put these seven chapters in the hands of a young man and say, you want a father figure? Check these guys out.
And not only that, first of all, you're 100% right, and that's part of my thinking here. But I also want to say that notice that right. three of the men in this book were not biological fathers. George Washington never had a child of his own. Pope John Paul II, obviously, never married and never had children. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, Papa, Pope, means father,
right.
spiritual father.
Right.
George Washington is known as the father of the country. So fatherhood is not biological. Anybody knows that any jerk can impregnate a female. That has nothing to do with fatherhood. Fatherhood has to do with self-sacrifice. You know, it's the guy who goes to work when he doesn't feel like it to feed his kids. That kind of thing, that's fatherhood. Being a model to your kids, a model of self-sacrifice, that's fatherhood. And anyone, any man, can do that for anyone else. You can be... You can be a surrogate father in that sense, that you can just take some kid under your wings or whatever. And I have to say that that's another reason that I wrote this book, because I said I want older men, you know, guys our age, to read this book and to understand what does it really mean to be a father. It has very little to do with just, you know, being a biological father. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer is another one. What a great hero. He never married, never was a father. So the idea of fatherhood, it comes from, you know, the fatherhood of God. It's
right.
something that is just, you know, way bigger than just being, as I say, biological father.
Okay, the final question. Who is your alive hero, Eric, today? Who's your alive hero, other than me?
Other than you? Well, that was my answer, so now what do I do?
I don't know.
I guess, you know what, I don't have anybody that springs to mind, but I will say this.
What about Biff?
What about who?
Biff, or whatever that crazy guy in your Grapes of Wrath men's club. Or who?
Oh, Skip Bolinski.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, no, he's not my hero.
Okay.
But don't tell him I said that. I think that he doesn't know how to work a radio, so he's probably not listening. But the thing is that I did a talk on this book, you know, at 8 a.m. here, and the last question, just like yours, no joke, was, who's a living hero? And right after the session, a pastor said to me, you know what your answer should be? It should be you, right? Because whenever I go and talk about Wilberforce and Bonhoeffer, I say the same thing. People say, who's the next Wilberforce? Who's the next Bonhoeffer? And I say, you know what? The real question is, why am I talking about these great figures? It's so that you, everybody, can understand that this is God's will for you. This
yeah.
is not for some handful of great, extra special, wonderful people. This is every single one of us has the ability to turn our hearts and minds over to God's purposes for our life. And if we do that, we will be great.
Yeah.
There is no question about that. And so I really think that we need to think about this personally. How does this affect me? And I do believe that these seven stories will help people sort of. In fact, what I was going to say was that I do think we need role models and people besides Jesus. We need to look at lives and say, how did he do it? How did he do it? What does it look like when a normal person, a normal sinful person, tries to deal with the evil in the world? What does it look like when they succeed? How can I learn from that? That's really why I wrote this book, because we need real people, and that these are seven real people. So there you go.
Let me say goodbye with this closing comment. I know that you're tight with President Obama. And I'm just glad that he's okay after the explosion at the White House.
Yeah, he's on the couch now right here. You want to talk to him?
Yeah. Yeah, $200 billion. You're the stock market lost because of that rogue tweet, because of Associated Press getting hacked. I think you did it.
Hey, wake up! You know what? He's sleeping. Another time, Drew. Another time.
Okay, thank you very much. Eric Metaxas on the phone with us. EricMetaxas.com is where you want to go to for all trinkets associated with Eric Metaxas.
You cheer me up. Thank you, Drew.
See you, Eric. Bye-bye. All right, folks, short break. When we come back, Mr. Paul Brandt, the most awarded Canadian male country recording artist in the history of Canadian male country artists being awarded.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.